roll call be dispensed with, and that the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is our Senate chaplain, Reverend Phil Shaw. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
So nice to see you again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as these senators gather together for this special session, you are fully aware of the struggle between the compassionate hearts of these dedicated servants and the limited resources to provide for these flood victims. And we're asking for your divine intervention to make a way where sometimes there seems to be no way, and to bridge the gap between compassion and reality. Because our hearts are heavy with the tragic losses suffered by our fellow Minnesotans, and God, we're asking that you will supply their needs and restore what they have lost and give them encouragement and hope for a brighter day. And we also turn our thoughts to the rigorous and stressful election process these senators face in the next few months. Give them guidance, wisdom, and physical and emotional and spiritual strength. Bless their families and come alongside them and provide the help they need and will receive if they only ask you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Pledge allegiance. The Secretary of the Senate will call the roll by legislative districts. The proper response is present.
Senate District 1, Leroy Stump. Present. Senate District 2, Rod Scoy. Senator Scoy. Senate District 3, Tom Saxog. Senator Saxog. District 4, John Carlson. Here. District 5, David Tamasoni. District 6, Thomas Bach. Senator Bach. District 7, Roger Reinert. District 8, Tony Laurie. District 9, Keith Langseth. Senator Langseth. District 10, Gretchen Hoffman. District 11, Bill Ingebretson. District 12, Paul Gazelka. District 13, Joe Gimsey. District 14, Michelle Fishbach. District 15, John Peterson. District 16, David Brown. District 17, Sean Nino. District 18, Scott Newman. District 19, Amy Koch. District 20, Lyle Coonan. District 21, Gary Dames. District 22, Doug Magnus. District 23, Kathy Sharon. District 24, Julie Rosen. Senator Rosen. District 25, Al DeCrife. District 26, Mike Perry. Senator Perry. District 27, Dan Sparks. District 28, John Sterling Howe. District 29, David Sunjum. District 30, Carla Nelson. District 31, Jeremy Miller. District 32, Warren Limmer. District 33, Jen Olson. District 34, Julianne Ortman. District 35, Claire Roebling. District 36, Dave Thompson. District 37, Chris Gerlach.
Cal, excuse me for just a moment. Members, it is very loud in here. If we could just, so that we can hear when people are responding, please. Thank you.
District 38, Ted Daly. District 39, James Metzen. Senator Metzen. District 40, Dan Hall. District 41, Jeff Michelle. District 42, David Hamm. District 43, Terry Bonoff. District 44, Ron Latz. District 45, Ann Rest. District 46, Chris Eaton. District 47, Benjamin Cruz. Senator Cruz. District 48, Michael Jungbauer. District 49, Michelle Benson. District 50, Barb Goodwin. District 51, Pam Wolf. District 52, Ray Vandeveer. District 53, Roger Chamberlain. District 54, John Marty. Senator Marty? Here, thank you. District 55, Charles Wieger. District 56, Ted Lilly. District 57, Katie Sieben. District 58, Linda Higgins. District 59, Carrie Dietzick. District 60, Scott Dibble. District 61, Jeff Hayden. District 62, Patricia Torres-Ray. District 63, Kenneth Kielash. District 64, Richard Cohen. District 65, Sandra Pappas. District 66, Mary Jo McGuire. District 67, John Harrington.
A quorum is present. Please note that copies of the Governor's Proclamation are on the desks. The Secretary will report the Governor's Proclamation.
I, Mark Dayton, Governor of Minnesota, do hereby summon you, members of the legislature, to convene in special session on Friday, August 24, 2012, at 2 o'clock p.m. at the State Capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota. Mark Dayton, Governor.
We will begin this session under the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. The Secretary will report resolution number one.
Senator Senjamin Bach introduced Senate resolution number one, a Senate resolution relating to the organization and operation of the Senate during the special session.
Senator Senjam.
Madam President, I move the adoption of the foregoing resolution.
And members, that resolution should be on your desk in addition to the Governor's Proclamation and the other resolutions. Discussion on that resolution.
Madam President.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. I stand to oppose Senate Resolution Number 1. My purpose is that Senate Resolution Number 1 vacates the committee process. We had a meeting, not a committee meeting, but we had a meeting this morning with the members of the Finance Committee and reviewed the language that is will be Senate File Number 1. At the time, the bill did not exist. In that committee meeting, I asked the committee chair if we were planning to come back and revisit the bill once it's introduced so that the Finance Committee could take action on that file. The committee chair did not express an interest in doing that, indicated that I could make a motion on the floor. However, if Senate Resolution 1 is adopted, I don't believe I will have the opportunity to make that motion. So I would oppose this so that we can have this bill that will spend $160-some million before we get reimbursed, that will net out of Minnesota taxpayers' pockets about $100 million after we get reimbursed, so that we can simply discuss that in committee. I'm not standing here in opposition to the bill per se. I trust that we will have some floor discussion later. I would hope that we would have some committee discussion. To date, we have not had any committee action on this bill at all. There was a task force that met a couple of times. They were not empowered to take any official action. The Senate Finance Committee did hear the provisions in the bill today. We were not empowered to take any action. I am simply not comfortable taking up a bill in a process that cuts out the committee process when it really doesn't matter if we pass this at 4 o'clock today or 4 o'clock in the morning, or quite frankly, even if we pass it tomorrow. This is not a situation that is extraordinarily urgent down to the hour. If it were, the governor would not have delayed calling this special session for a matter of weeks. So, Madam Chair, I do oppose Senate Resolution Number 1 for those purposes.
Further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate Resolution Number 1. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 9 nays, the resolution is adopted. The secretary will report Senate Resolution Number 2.
Senator Benjamin Bach introduced Senate Resolution Number 2, a Senate resolution relating to the notification of the House of Representatives and the Governor that the Senate is organized.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move the adoption of the foregoing resolution.
Seeing no discussion, Senator Senjum renews his motion to adopt Senate Resolution Number 2. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The resolution is adopted. Meaning under motions and resolutions, we will revert to messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is now duly organized for the 2012 special session pursuant to law. Albany Mathews, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
And this message is simply informational. There is no need for any action on that message. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we will revert to the eighth order of business, introductions and first reading of Senate bills. Secretary will report the introductions.
Senators Gimsey, Howe, Carlson, Reinert, and Lori introduce Senate File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 1 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the remaining introductions.
Senators Gimsey and Latz introduce Senate File Number 2, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 2 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will report the next introduction.
Senator Nelson introduces Senate File Number 3, a bill for an act relating to emergency management.
And Senate File Number 3 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, at this point, we're going to take a brief recess to convene the Rules Committee, probably for less than a half an hour. I'm going to believe 20 minutes to a half an hour. And at that point, we'll reconvene. We'll bring Senate File 1 to the floor through a suspension and a declaration of urgency. Debate it at that point along the way, depending on what the House does. We'll probably receive House File Number 1. At that point, we'll lay Senate File 1 on the table. We'll take up House File Number 1. Do the suspension and the urgency, if that's the will of the body, debate it, and finally act on it. And we're also, Madam President, do have Senate File Number 2 there, which is a technical corrections bill to Senate File, pardon me, House File Number 1, that we'll be handling after, and presumably after the adoption of House File Number 1. So that's where we are, and at this point, Madam President, I would move a recess until the call of the chair. Estimating somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 minutes to a half an hour. And the Rules Committee, if you would, report to room 107.
Senator Senjum moves for a recess to the call of the chair. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are in recess.
Present.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings done to the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum. Remaining under motions and resolutions, will revert to messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance. Albany Mathews, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No action on that message from the House. Moving to first reading of House bills, first reading House File Number 1. First reading.
Madam President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota with respect to House File Number 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File Number 1 its second and third reading and place it on its final passage.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Second reading, House File Number 2, or excuse me, Number 1, House second reading. We now have House File Number 1 in front of us, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. House File Number 1 is the 2012 Disaster Relief Bill, and I want to start by saying a few thank yous to people who have been instrumental in preparation for this bill and getting us ready for this day. And I'd like to start by thanking Senator Reinert, Senator Lori, for their involvement and their advocacy for their communities. It was a strong advocacy and very well received. Your communities were awesome as we toured the area shortly after the storm. To see your community come together in such a way that they made the immediate relief of people in dire need possible and made it made the whole system work much more smoothly. And then to follow up on that, to be able to work the numbers as quickly as they have, they've allowed us to come here in, I guess, what we could call pretty short order, you know, reasonable time. In order to complete a bill and to get the aid out to the folks up there in the Northeast. Certainly, we don't want to forget the people who were affected by the flooding in the southeast part of the state. And also in this bill is the wind damage in the northwestern part of the state, up there in the Bemidji area, and that'll also be a part of this bill. But thank you to those senators. I would like to also thank staff, John Halverson, Kevin Matzik, Lucas Ness, Jennifer Burquam, and also nonpartisan staff who were very helpful in this, Tom Bodern and Eric Naumann. I'll go through the major provisions of the bill and walk through the spreadsheet for this bill and highlight it, and then after that, stand for any questions that you might have. As a summary of this bill, the major appropriations in it for public safety, they will receive $25,975,000. Transportation will receive $79 million. Employment and economic development will receive $15 million. Public Facilities Authority, $6 million. Housing Finance, $12.7 million. The Historical Society will receive $250,000. Natural Resources will receive $18,855. Board of Water and Soil Resources will receive $12.5 million. Agriculture will get $600,000. Education, $761,000. Health Services will get $565,000. And then, of course, there's the bond sale expense of $101,000. And then as a part of this bill, we will be taking some previously authorized bonds and other funds that have caused some transfers, reductions, and cancellations for $12.67 million that will comprise the bill total of $167 million. On the revenue side, just quickly here, to the general fund, we will be taking $67.5 million. Bond proceeds from general obligation bonds, $25.7 million. In the transportation department, the state transportation fund, $30 million. The trunk highway fund, $14 million. And the trunk highway fund bonds, the proceeds from them at $35 million. And then again, as you'll note on the spreadsheet, some of those transfers from bonding and other projects that came in lower than expected, and some projects that weren't funded at all in previous disaster relief bills, those dollars will go into this as well. Looking at the spreadsheet, and I think everybody has received a copy of this on their desk prior to meeting here today and probably had it during your discussions and caucuses. I'll go quickly through that. On the public safety side, we have public assistance, state and local FEMA matches from the general fund, $22 million. General obligation bonds for that area is $3.3 million. Debris removal and burial, these are general fund expenditures of $500,000. And long-term recovery efforts will receive another $500,000, bringing that public safety total to that $27 million. In the area of transportation, infrastructure operations and maintenance, this was the initial cleanup and getting roads passable so that people could get from their homes to their places of business and to do their daily activities and get back, and that figure came in at about $3 million. That's in the bill. Program planning and delivery, and that's cash from the Trunk Highway Fund, will be another $11 million. The State Trunk Highway, Highways and Bridges Fund, and now this is Trunk Highway Fund bonding, that is $38 million. And then from the local road and bridge reconstruction account, and that is $30 million. So the actual total on that is in Article 1 is $82 million. Employment and Economic Development, the Minnesota Investment Fund will get $15 million. And the Public Facilities Authority, which is going to go to help some of our local businesses that or local units of government as they go through the process of rebuilding their sewer systems and other facilities to fill in the gaps and the unfunded portion that the federal government won't cover to upgrade to code some of those sections that need to be rehabilitated in, beyond the scope of the actual damage, that fund will receive $15 million, or excuse me, $6 million. Housing finance, and this is for economic and housing challenge program, that will receive $12.2 million, capacity building grants of $250,000, and family homelessness prevention and assistance, and that's for people who were displaced from their homes and others, that fund will receive $250,000 for a total of $12.7 million. Again, the Historical Society for Historic Structure Grants is at $250,000, and the assessment of historical sites is still ongoing, but I believe the Armory in Duluth has been identified as having some needs. They are included in this bill. Under Natural Resources, facility natural resource damage, and members should know that these funds are 100% reimbursable by the federal government. The number for that is $6.8 million. A big part of the natural resources dollars also goes to flood hazard mitigation grants, and some of that is buying out property that was damaged by the sliding of land during the flood, and ensuring that we don't see that those types of events happen again in the future. Between those two categories, it's $10 million. And then again, in the waterways where the sediments, the dirt, the boulders, the trees were washed into our waters, for the cleanup of that, we have appropriated $2 million in this bill for a total of $18.8 million to natural resources. Board of Water and Soil Resources will receive $12.5 million. Again, some of this is for erosion and sediment control to try to reduce the risk of future flooding. And then $1.5 million will go into the reinvest in Minnesota conservation easements. When this flood occurred, a number of these rivers decided that they were going to go outside their banks and create a new path. And along the way, they along those paths, we need to create ways of making those paths less erodible in future events, and a lot of that money will be going toward that. In the area of agriculture, $600,000, most of that will go to Aiken County for farm assistance. And in education, in the education portion of the bill, we're looking at $761,000. Most of that is for enrollment impact aid, which is they currently estimated about 11 pupils won't be going back to some of these schools. They've been displaced and have to go to other school districts for $61,000. And then disaster relief facilities grants, which are for the schools, I think three schools themselves, for the cleanup and recovery from the event. In the area of health, we have $565,000. A portion of that will be for behavioral health or mental health needs that are in the community. And members should know that those are reimbursed expenses. The county pays for those up front, and the Minnesota Department of Health reimburses the counties for that. Another major part of that is water systems and checking all the wells that are for potential contamination due to the flood, and then $41,000 of it is for the actual response itself. The next area is, and the one of the final areas is management and budget, and again, that's that $101,000 that will be used as we go through the process of selling some of the general obligation bonds, which will be a part of the relief recovery. So, and then further down on the spreadsheet, we had talked about some transfers, reductions, and cancellations, and you'll notice the dollar amounts for specific areas in the law where these dollars weren't used, and now they're being reallocated for the purposes, whether they be roads, facilities grants, operations grants, or economic and employment and development. And those dollars will be expended in this bill rather than increasing the size of the bill and having additional dollars in it. And those transfers equal $12.6 million. Of the entire bill then, again, out of the general fund, $67.58 million will come from the general fund. Bond proceeds, which are, and these are general obligation bonds, will be $25.7 million, and for the transportation system again, 25.71 is 25.7 million is from the Trunk Highway Fund. The State Transportation Fund is $30 million, and Trunk Highway Bonds again are $35 million, and then from the cash flow, $14 million. So, for all funds, the total is $159.6 million. In Article 2 of the bill, we deal with the windstorm disaster relief that happened in the northwest part of the state as a separate article in the bill, and the public safety portion of that we have $5.8 million. And under natural resources, $994,000 will go toward reforestation. Once we have the timber off and we want to plant new trees and get a new rotation of trees in the lands that were affected, we need to replant those trees, and that's what that money is for. Just over $1 million will go to the a natural resources forest fund as a part of lost revenue and salvaged timber sale. So we'll be making that account whole for the natural resources. Under the Article 2 on the spreadsheet, the subtotals are general fund expenditures of $6.875 million, bond proceeds, and these are general obligation bonds, is $994,000 for a total for that event. From the state of $7.869 million. So, members, that is a quick overview of the appropriations and the expenditures in this bill. And with that, I'll turn it over to some others who may have some comments to make on the bill and the process, and I'll take your questions.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Madam President. I Just want to begin, as Senator Gimsey did, by first of all saying thank you. Thank you to all the members of this body. I personally appreciate the emails, the text messages, the phone calls, the thoughts and the prayers that we received as we were going through this. You know, I sent an email out just to sort of refresh our memory of where we were, in, at least where I was in Duluth on that day. If you haven't had a chance to see it, it's just a little minute YouTube clip, and it's from a street in my neighborhood that became a raging river on the day of the storm. And, you know, just to sort of remember that day, we had in Duluth 10.1 inches of rain. And if that weren't enough, we'd had some 11 inches in the 8 days prior to that. So it was the combination of the two that really created this completely saturated environment. Throw in a slight hill that Duluth has and some lower-lying areas in other parts of northeastern Minnesota and a clay and rock underground, and it created quite a mess. And Senator Senjum, to Speaker Zellers, I appreciate the leadership of, this, of the legislature being there within days. Chair Gimsey, thank you. Chair Beard from the House, they were both up there within days looking at our public infrastructure and have been solid allies as we move forward. You know, and members, we get a lot in this body and in Minnesota about how we can't work together and we have our political differences. And I'll tell you, at least in northeastern Minnesota, there's some civic trust that's been renewed because of this. They've seen us work together. They've seen a much more difference between those who were up and saw the damage and those who didn't in terms of questions being asked. But it didn't have to do with D's and R's and that sort of thing. And that was refreshing for a lot of Minnesotans. I just want to give you sort of the Duluth perspective. In the city of Duluth, we had 939 residential properties or businesses impacted by the storm. 8 were destroyed, 15 severely damaged, 242 had major damage, and assorted other damage to the remaining. The total damage, total cost of the damaged infrastructure, housing structure, $80 million, just in the city of Duluth, $80 million. Total loss of value, in terms of productivity, businesses not being open, about a third, $19 million, $19.5 million over that period of time. So significant damage, and that's just in the city of Duluth. And I know Senator Loy will speak to the damage that he saw in the areas to the south of us. So what does this bill do that's incredibly important for Duluth? It does three things. Number one, it contains the 25% match from FEMA. And I know Senator Loy, again, will be able to speak much more succinctly to this point. You know, but had local governmental units been asked to pick up that tab? In Duluth, maybe. We're a big enough city with enough resources. It would have meant taking a lot of dollars that were being used elsewhere and moving them around. But poor little Thompson in Senator Lori's district, no way. So that 25% match, incredibly important. Once FEMA denied individual assistance, the Quick Start MHFA money became all the more important. So the dollars we're putting in there are going to be what most homeowners see. The Quick Start forgivable loans will go to individuals who've lost water heaters and furnaces and electrical panels because they were flooded, their sewers backed up, their sump pumps didn't handle the damage that was there. And then the third big thing, at least in the city of Duluth, is actually flood mitigation dollars. You know, we're a built city, but we have 40-plus streams that run down the hillside, and each of those streams, as you can see in the little video I did the day of the storm, you know, that stream has not seen daylight since the 1930s, but it found its way back to the surface and down First Avenue West to become a major river. Those dollars in the flood mitigation will not only help us get waters back where they should be, but for the handful of homes, and I've got 7 in my district that were completely destroyed and cannot be rebuilt because their lot washed away or because the hillside they're on is no longer stable, it's going to help those people wipe the slate clean and start over. So I'm not going to make extensive comments. I know the House got this done in an hour, and we certainly don't want to take longer than the House does. But I thank you as the member from Duluth, the senator from Duluth, as someone who lived through this literally. I thank you for your help and partnership, and I appreciate your support today on this bill. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Lori.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I too stand in strong support of this bill and have, as Senator Reinhart and Senator Gimsey did, a series of thank yous, really. Thank you for all those who came to see the devastation in northeastern Minnesota. And I'm just going to take you back to the evening when, in late June, when we all started seeing the damage Senator Reinhart's YouTube video from Duluth and really starting to recognize that this was an incredibly significant event. But then over the ensuing number of days, the water began to rise and kept rising and rising and rising across the entire region. And many outside of the city of Duluth, most of the news cameras were still in Duluth. And many outside of the city were getting concerned that maybe we'd be forgotten. And I just want to say thank you to all of those who worked so hard to make sure that that never happened. Mayor Don Ness was absolutely wonderful from day one in organizing it as a regional event. And he invited all of the mayors and county commissioners from Pine and Carlton counties and from all of the entire region. And Governor Dayton and his entire administration came up and toured the entire region and made sure that we together understood the full nature and extent and scope of the damage caused. And so there just really does need to be a good deal of thanks. I know that Senator Senjum, Senator Gimsey, Senator Howe all personally came up and toured the regions, as well as those of us affected. Senator Reinhart and I were all over it. Senator Tomasoni was there many times, Senator Bach as well. We really did have a robust response and make sure that we understood as much as we could to provide the best package of relief that we could. And I need to thank previous legislatures as well. Minnesota is actually a very disaster-prone state. We've had, on average, two federal disaster declarations a year for many, many years now. And a few years ago, we got Chapter 12A in our statutes, which was a really good roadmap. Those of us in northeastern Minnesota, we've never been through a disaster of this magnitude before. And it was very, very difficult to try to digest. And so those of us who were here before devised Chapter 12A, which really steps us through all of the agencies and all of the responses that make for a good Minnesota response to a natural disaster. So I want to thank everyone who had a part in putting that together, because it really was a phenomenal roadmap for us. And I'm really glad that at the end of the day, we were able to put together a fairly comprehensive package for support of our communities in terms of infrastructure, our public bodies, our businesses in terms of the Minnesota Investment Fund administered through DEED. I think that we will do right by them. And in terms of our struggling homeowners that are still trying to get back in their homes and make their homes livable again. And the Quick Start program administered through DEED is going to be phenomenal. You know, we are a very resilient community. Right from day one, our public officials and our people have been out working on recovery. We understand this is going to be a very, very, very long recovery process. This Senate File 1 and this disaster recovery bill is an important piece, but it's only a piece of the recovery. And we need to be there for them for a long time as we go through all of this. One piece, and so I am very thankful for all of the things that are there, but one piece that we will need to come back and work on that I just need to highlight is the Moose Lake School. And it's not the first time we've been through this. I'm going to bring people back again to the days following the flood, and it got a lot of press, and it showed Moose Lake School underwater, and our community sandbagging, trying to protect as much of it as we could. Unfortunately, it did sustain significant damage. There is money in this bill to try to cobble this school back together, but this is a similar situation that happened back in 2007 with Rushford, and I know I've been working with members from their community to try to figure out a good public policy response. But frankly, we have a really low property wealth district that has an aging school facility that has been inadequate for many years, and because of the low tax base, real problem trying to secure bonding through the traditional means for funding a new school, and then a disaster hits. Cobbling this school back together and trying to teach our kids, which they're going to do, we're going to have the kids back on September 4th in that school, but I think that we probably do need to craft a better public policy response going forward, and I will be working. We had the superintendent of Moose Lake, the governor gave him a meeting on Monday. I was down here with him, and we're going to be working with the Department of Education to try to determine what the best public policy response is, who all of the players should be. I know that our federal delegation was all in Moose Lake looking at the situation as well, and we will need to come back and try to do this. Again, it happened in 2007 with Rushford. It's happened in Moose Lake. Severe weather events are becoming more and more frequent, and I think that we're going to be needing to face this in future disasters as well. And I think that we owe it to the people of Minnesota and to our kids to figure out what the best response in this situation is. I understand why it couldn't make it into this special session bill, but we will return, and those of us that have experienced this will continue to try to find a better public policy response. But again, I stand in full support of this bill and the process that was used to get us here, and thankful for all of those who played a part.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to rise and thank all the staff and the members that were part of the disaster relief working group. There was a lot of time and effort that went into this. We certainly, a lot of us went up to Duluth and seen the disaster and the effects firsthand. But I also want to mention that, you know, some of our southern counties experienced some difficulties during the storm too. And so this affects more than just the Northeast region. So this bill is a great bill to get us back on the road to recovery, but one thing that hasn't been mentioned here yet today is some of the important reforms that we're putting forth for future disaster relief. And so I'd urge members to support this bill because it not only deals with the disaster relief that we're dealing right now, but we're putting in place some important reforms for the future of our state. So with that, members, I'd urge a support and vote yes for this bill. Thank you.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I, too, stand in support of this bill and stand in solidarity with the folks in the northeast part of the state. And a correction to Senator Gimsey and those in the north central part of the state. When I think of northwestern Minnesota, I think of Senator Stump and Senator Langseth. The wind blow was really in the north central part of the state. It started in Bemidji, which has a foot in northwestern and north central, and continued on east over into Grand Rapids. And if anyone has ever seen an 80-foot red pine bend over and touch the ground, not once, not twice, but three times before it snapped off, you would be in total awe, and you would know what kind of a wind and what kind of damage we had in north central Minnesota. And so I'm very appreciative of the governor and the working groups, and for having the working groups that we can come down and be a part of and have some relief for our communities in north central Minnesota. So thank you, and please vote yes for this bill.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. I wonder if Senator Reinert would yield for a question.
Senator Reinert will yield. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Reinert, I had an inquiry from one of my constituents about the language that starts on page 14, which is section 22 of the bill, and section 23, where there are mentions of dollars that would be that were in came into the law for Minnesota Public Radio and for public television, Minnesota Children's Museum, Science Museum, etc. And I wonder if you would clear up that constituent's confusion that there is no new money in this bill for those entities, but instead there is just a permission for the money that was allocated for bonding for the Duluth Lake Superior Zoo, just to allow them to use those dollars until June 30th, 2015, and this bill has no dollars for any of those other entities, either from 2009 or 2011. Would you confirm that for me, please?
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Ressman, for your constituent, there are no new dollars in here for the zoo. Just want to say that again, there are no new dollars in here for the Lake Superior Zoo. What there is an extension of the time period in which they had to use the dollars that they were granted back in 2009 and also 2011 via the legacy amendment. The zoo, as other as folks saw, was heavily damaged by the storm. They have had to put some other things at the top of their priority list other than programmatic spending, and that's the dollars that they're there. So again, no new dollars in there for the Lake Superior Zoo, just an extension of the time period in which they have to spend the dollars they were allocated back in 2009 and 2011.
Senator Est.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Reiner, if you do, for just to reconfirm once again as well, if you would yield that there are no dollars here for public television or radio or anything like that. It's just the extension of the dollars to be able to use for the Duluth Zoo. No new dollars for any of those other activities.
Senator Reiner. Well, he's nodding his head if that's helpful. Senator Rest, Senator Reinhart is acknowledging that is the case. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. And, Senator Carlson, one of the reasons we have to get these people to come up to the northern part of Minnesota is so they realize exactly where we are. And this storm was definitely one that made everybody realize exactly where we are. It was devastating, and this particular special session, similar to the one we did in 2007 for the southeastern Minnesota, is an indication of people coming together to take care of the people of Minnesota. And I want to thank everybody from the other side of the aisle who came up north to see this devastation. And I want to thank Senator Lurie and Senator Reiner especially for the hard work that they did. My particular district experienced flooding in all of all places, Floodwood. And Floodwood actually is a place where there are three rivers that converge, the St. Louis, the Floodwood, and the Savannah. And while they caused extensive damage and road closures, Highway 73, a major road going north and south in the area, was closed for several days. Highway 2 was also closed and for several days, and Highway 2 goes across the state northwest from Duluth. The closure of Highway 2 wasn't from any of those three rivers. It was from a small creek coming up from the south, and the water was so extreme there that it not only closed the highway, it took out the railroad track that was adjacent to the highway, closing down shipment of taconite pellets. And so you can understand that not only were farms and townships severely impacted by this flood, but even the Iron Range's shipment of pellets was affected by this. So I'm just here to say thank you to everybody. I want to extend a special thank you to the governor. He made several trips up north to make sure that everything was taken care of and that things were done correctly, and he's done a great job. And I want to just add to one thing that Senator Lurie said about coming back and potentially adding more money to what needs to be done here. I know the governor's estimate of what was needed was about $27 million higher than what the bill is actually allocating, and I'm concerned that there's potentially that much need. And in the event that there is that much need and somebody doesn't get taken care of, I hope that when we come back in the next legislative session that we make sure that the people who maybe didn't get all the money that they needed will be made whole. So thank you all very much.
Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam President. Truly, this was an epic disaster in northern Minnesota. I represent areas affected by both the flood and the blowdown. I think credit needs to go to the local units of government, led by the counties, who quickly gathered the estimates of the damage and then got it to the state of Minnesota. The governor, because he got this information in a timely manner, was able to make a recommendation that would allow our part of the state to recover more easily. We appreciate this. Please support House File 1, the 2012 Disaster Relief Bill. Thank you.
Secretary will give House File 1 its third reading.
House File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, third reading.
Further discussion? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to close with a comment, and I've made a couple of statements today here on the floor and in committee about the process that we had bringing this bill to the floor that, in my opinion anyway, is problematic and not the kind of form that this legislative body should typically be doing. We had, and I waited until after third reading because I didn't want anyone to think I would be offering these, but I had a number of amendments drafted, some of which really are good policy. This body or a committee may have rejected or accepted them, but we never had that opportunity. And I will give you just an example of the kinds of things that I thought it would have been good to at least have a discussion about. This bill, for example, $160-some-odd million, after we get reimbursed, roughly $100 million out of taxpayers' pockets. Not one dime of that is a local share. That's all 100% state share. And that's a discussion that this body needs to have, and I think would have made sense in the context of this bill to talk about, should we set a precedent going forward that there is going to be both a state and local share, without defining what that is. But we never had an opportunity to discuss that. Had I offered the amendments here on this floor today, the response would have been, Senator, I'm sorry, we can't adopt that because the House has adjourned. We didn't have a committee hearing at all where it was possible to have that kind of substantive discussion. Another example, I thought maybe it would make sense if we're going to spend $165 million, whatever the net is or the gross amount is on this, that maybe we should have a detailed accounting of where that money gets spent. And particularly because there's a, and actually it's kind of a good provision in the bill that any of these unexpended funds will get returned to the general fund. And on its face, that is a good thing. But what it also does is it creates an incentive to spend that money. And any of you that have worked in those kinds of budgets, if you've been in the military and government agencies, there's always a flurry of spending to make sure that we spend our budget or that they spend their budget. And so it's quite possible that this money might get spent on things that really didn't make a whole lot of sense. But we're not going to get a detailed accounting of where that money gets spent because it's not required in this bill. We could have had a discussion about maybe that might have made sense, but we don't have that opportunity. We didn't have that opportunity. I had another amendment that obviously I'm not offering that would have reduced, without reducing $1 of spending for the disaster relief, and without cutting into anything that's already been obligated to be spent on, my amendment, had it been adopted and had we discussed and thought it was a good idea, would have reduced the state's general obligation debt load by $30 million. Now, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe the body wouldn't have liked it, but we never had a chance to talk about these things because we never had one single committee hearing. We never met on this floor to discuss a bill at a time when it was amendable without killing it permanently. And that is a terrible, terrible flawed process that we've used, members, and I hope it doesn't happen again in the future. This is a bill that we could have passed at 4 o'clock. We could have passed at 4 o'clock in the morning. We could have passed it 4 days from now, and there would have been almost no negative repercussion for any of the recipients of this disaster relief. Probably none at all. And we could have had some substantive discussion and debate about details and spending and accountability and transparency and what this means for next year's budget deficit. This bill makes it bigger. Maybe that's okay, maybe it's not, but we didn't have a discussion about that. The Finance Committee never addressed it. We never took an action. We didn't have an official committee meeting. Members, I just want you to be aware that that's the process that we've used. Maybe you like the bill, maybe you don't like the bill, but I hope you didn't like the process.
Further discussion. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. I just, we've all been around here for a few years, some of us at least, and I think, at least for me, the Red River Valley, devastating water as far as you can see, almost unimaginable for a person from southern Minnesota to go up there and see that, to work in it, to wade in it. Winona, whoever thought Winona, Stockton, and Rushford could flood? And yet, literally houses washing down the river. Unimaginable water. And then we think of in my own area, the Owatonna, Pine Island, Orinoco, Zumbro Falls, 13 feet of water on the main street of Zumbro Falls. Hammond, devastated. Not much there, but devastated. And so on down the river. Again, who could imagine that could happen? North Minneapolis, the tornado. How many tornadoes do you get in an urban center? It happens, and the state responds. And I think maybe all of us can recollect to some extent when we heard Duluth was flooding, and it's almost unimaginable for a person from southern Minnesota to hear that and believe that, and yet it did happen. My only point, Madam President, members, that when things like this happen, Minnesota comes together. We have on every occasion that I've been here, and I suspect we will on every occasion long after all of us leave. This is a time to come together. It's a time to pass this bill. It's a time to come together as a state and to stand up and respond to these kind of disasters. It's our core, it's our ethic, it's our practice, and hopefully it's the thing that we stand for in a bipartisan fashion as we think about doing what's right. So let's do what's right today. Let's pass House File Number 1, move on and move home, and have a good rest of the summer.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 67 ayes and 7 nays, the bill is, 60 ayes and 7 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Meaning under motions and resolutions, we will revert to messages from the House. The secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith transmitted, House File Number 2, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Meaning under motions and resolutions, we revert to first reading of House bills. First reading, House File 2. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota with respect to House File Number 2, that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File Number 2 its second and third reading and place it on final passage.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. House File 2, second reading. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. House File 2 is a technical bill that just corrects some of the errors that were in the original bill. It then cleans things up. And I'll go right to page 2 of the bill, where what we do is we clarify that the MIF monies that are allocated in the bill may be spent until December 31st of 2013. And then the stricken language there cancels the general fund reapportionment of the dollars that are in that, because they are already coming from the general fund. On line 2.18, the wetland conservation procedures, this is a Bowser provision, and what this changing it, the wording from section to article allows them to use these alternative procedures throughout the entire bill and all of these projects that are included in the bill. And then also on page 2.27, and all this does is provides a cross-reference to Chapter 12A of the Disaster Relief Bill, and this says and pertains to the MIF portion of the bill. So very technical in nature for all of these parts, and I'd appreciate a yes vote.
Further discussion on House File 2. Senator Latz.
Members, this really is a true technical correction bill. I urge your support.
Secretary will give House File 2 its third reading.
House File Number 2, a bill for an act relating to disaster assistance, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 67 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, the secretary will report Senate Resolution Number 3.
Senator Senjamin Bach introduced Senate Resolution Number 3, a Senate resolution relating to adjournment of the special session.
Senator Senjam.
Madam President, I move the adoption of the foregoing resolution.
And members, I believe that is available on your desk. Any discussion? Senator Senjam renews his motion to adopt Senate Resolution Number 3. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we revert to messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is about to adjourn the 2011 special session, sine die. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. 2012 special session. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Without objection, the following member will be excused. Senator Rosen from 12 to 12:15 without objection. I misspoke. Senator Rosen excused from 2 o'clock to 2:15. Without objection, she is excused. Senator Senjam.
Madam President, members, we're going to move to adjourn momentarily. Before we do that, I would ask that you remain in your seats. We have had, since our last adjournment, a couple of individuals are retiring. Senator Harrington, Senator DeKreif, and Senator Vanderveer. Senator Vanderveer would like to speak to us this afternoon, and of course, we're all very interested in hearing what he has to say. And then beyond that, I would ask after he has spoken if the Senate Republicans could gather at the desk. We'd like to have, if you will, a class photo before we go. And then after that, Senate Republicans, we will caucus in room 318. 318, immediately after the picture. So with that, Madam President, I would now move that the Senate do now adjourn its special session. Sine die.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned. Senator Vanderveer.
Well, thank you, Madam President and members. I'm pleased to have this unexpected opportunity to say goodbye today. Of course, our lives in the legislature are mostly unexpected, aren't they? A lot of the things that happened, but I promised Senator Ingebrigtsen and Senator Cohen that we'd be out of here by 9 o'clock, so I'm gonna hurry up here. But I just wanted to say goodbye and thank you, because I've made a lot of friends here, and it's really been an honor and a privilege to serve in the legislature. Very few people get to do it, and they don't know what they're missing when they can't work with people like you. It is definitely entertaining, educational, good theater sometimes, but good real drama in life sometimes too, isn't it? Because everything that we do here is real. So I just want to thank my constituents for allowing me to serve, my family for all of their support and the volunteers that helped me, and all of you for the times that you helped me here, because almost every one of you have helped me out in one way or another when I had a problem or legislation or needed something. I was surprised, regardless of party, how you worked with me, and I'm very grateful for that. And I can assure the people of Minnesota that there is integrity in the Senate and the legislature, and that there are good people here. So with that, I know you have challenges ahead of you. You have a lot of issues to deal with in the state coming up, and you'll have my prayers and best wishes. So thank you so much for the opportunity to serve with you and for the few minutes you gave me this afternoon. And I want to thank my wife, who was up there. No, she's not. I don't know if we're supposed to do that, but I don't see her there. But anyway, she put up with the most, so I just want to get that in too. Thank you very much.
Senator Sanjin.
Madam President, we're done. If House Republicans, Senate Republicans can get their picture taken, and we'll call.